it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
New York is the city that never sleeps, and neither does Sal Licata. From Flushing in the Bronx to the Meadowlands in MSG, Sal sounds off on the biggest sports news of the day. Welcome to WFAN Daily with Sal Licata.
What a sports day that was. I mean, incredible. Starting with the Knicks, of course. We'll get back to them. We're actually going to work our way backwards because the Rangers just finished here. I'll tell you, we talked about this. It is rare that you talk about something, you expect something to happen, and then you actually see it happen. And that's what happened with the Rangers and the Capitals. I was never really threatened. I never felt like the Rangers were in any sort of danger, even being at game two when they were down, early, they come right back, even when things were tight late. I never felt that the entire series, maybe overconfident, but in this particular case, you know how good the Rangers are, and you know the disparity between them and the Capitals. And the thing that means the most to me about it is not only it's great to sweep a series, not only has it not happened for this team since, what, they just said 2007 when they beat the then Atlanta Thrashers, but this team, you know, the symmetry between 1994, which is great. I mean, I remember obviously sweeping the Islanders and then taking out the Caps in round two and five. But you need to win a Stanley Cup. You need, and I'm sure this is proven factual, you don't in fact need it, but the Rangers need to have a little rest. Every one of these rounds in recent years, whether it was Shesterkin the last couple, whether it's Lundqvist before him, seven grueling games in the first and second round. Even if you feel like they're going to, you know, have a decent chance to win the series and be in control, it always seems the opponent forced a game six, forced a game seven. Too much to take right out of the gate. Even if you advance, as we've seen with the Lundqvist-led Ranger teams, even if you advance, it's too much. And if you play with fire, not only are you exhausted seven games in the first round, seven games in the second round, you know, you're going to get burnt in one of them. I mean, it's one game. So the fact that the Rangers essentially just completed their bye, sweeping out the Caps, eat that, Tom Wilson. Man, I'll tell you, that's the one thing I regret about, or not regret, but I wish I saw in this series. I wanted to see Rempe pound Tom Wilson's face into the ground. But moving on, the Rangers swept him, and it's not just the enjoyment that you get out of sweeping a series, having them play well, and really dominate the series. I don't care if it was a goal or two goal games. They dominated the series. They barely trailed in the entire series. But more importantly, they're fresh. Rest up, relax, go take on whoever, you know, wins out of the Islanders and Canes. We know what's going to happen. The Canes are going to win. It's just a matter of if the Islanders can prolong the inevitable as much as possible. And I'll tell you this, I would love to see the Islanders in that second round. Canes will be a tough series, and that'll probably go six or seven games, which is fine, but the Rangers got a nice break with that first one. All right, the Knicks, a tremendous performance from the Knicks. I've been saying that the Knicks needed to win this series. They needed Jalen Brunson to go off. They needed Jalen Brunson to be the superstar that he is, and in game four, he was just that. Historic, in fact, 47 points, triple-double. I mean, just an absolute beast with Jalen Brunson. The Knicks as a whole were terrific. To me, this was the best game that they played. I didn't think they played well in game one, and they were fortunate to win. They should have lost game two, and they were more than fortunate to win that game. That was really a loss. But hey, luck's a part of it, and you take it. Game three, they got smoked, although you started to see the signs of Brunson coming out of it. And then game four, the most complete game where you have Brunson going nuts, the 47 points. And not just the point total, but the efficiency, the toughness. He was on a mission attacking Joel Embiid, embarrassing him. Brunson was a man on a mission. He looked like the superstar that he was throughout the course of the regular season. Wasn't there in game one, wasn't there in game two. Started to get there in game three. It was there in game four. He had that Kobe mentality, that assassin killer mentality that he was going to go in there and rip the hearts out of the Philadelphia 76ers. Although this year, I think it's going to be the 76ers. And he did just that. He ripped their heart out. But it wasn't just him. You have to give credit to the Knicks. See, the toughness and energy and heart and hustle that the Knicks play with can only take you so far. It's great to watch. It's fun to watch. But it's necessary to have Jalen Brunson do what he did as a superstar to complement that. That's how the Knicks could win. If he didn't do that, the Knicks would have lost and they would have been heading back to the world's most famous, tied at two. But now instead, they have an opportunity to close out Philadelphia. Now, series is far from over here. Embiid looked awful in game four. Knicks did a great job defensively on him, whether it was OG Anunoby, Achiuwa did an excellent job on him. But Philadelphia is still a live dog because it's so fragile with the Knicks offense, where if it's not Brunson, and you can't expect Brunson to go for, you know, 50 every night, but you're going to need an efficient 30 to 35 from him consistently if the Knicks want to do real damage in this postseason and if they want to close out Philadelphia. Now, they're in a great spot. If they play the way that they did in game four, they will win game five. The question is, can they? And by the way, I would have said that even if they lost that game, because game four was still in the balance for a while, you know, way, you know, down the stretch there was still kind of tight. I felt the same way that I did even after the result of the win. I would have felt the same way with the loss. Obviously, it would have hurt, but I still would have said, you know what? This is what they need. This is the formula. What you saw in game four is the formula for the Knicks to move on, not only in round one, but beyond round two as well. Now, that formula can only take you so far against Boston. We'll see if they do get there. But this was the recipe. This is what I was waiting for since the postseason started. Game one, it was not that. Game two, it was not that. Game three was certainly not that. They put it all together. And the Knicks, two things. The Knicks have incredible heart and toughness and will. You saw that down the final, you know, sequences there when the Knicks kept grabbing rebounds and the Sixers just couldn't get the ball back. Knicks come down. They shoot five shots, rebound the ball. They get multiple opportunities. The Sixers finally get the ball. They go down the court. They shoot one. They miss one shot, and the Knicks grab the rebound. I mean, that's just daggers to the heart of Philadelphia. In their building, too, credit to Knicks fans taking over the Wells Fargo Center, making it feel like Madison Square Garden. I mean, that is going to be sweet. Oh, baby, I can taste the surf sides already. Get that palate ready, Clem! One more game to go. Don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but that was I thought that was the swing game in the series. I felt all along the Sixers were going to win and even things up. Even if Brunson played well, I still thought it was going to be 2-2 coming back to Madison Square Garden. So the Knicks proved me wrong there, did get that win. But as I said, they needed to do it with Jalen Brunson leading the way. And now, I mean, at this point, it'd be a disaster if the Knicks ever lost. Long way to go, I understand that. But you know, the Knicks are in great position here, meaning that, you know, they have to lose two games at home to end up blowing the series. Plus, the Sixers are just so bad. The Sixers have talent. Maxey's got no toughness. He's got no heart. I don't know if he lacks basketball IQ or he's just learning to get there. He doesn't have that killer instinct that you need to move on in the playoffs. All the talent in the world, quickness, can shoot from anywhere on the floor. He doesn't have that. He's just out there playing and like playing, having fun. Playoffs, you got to turn it up. A different level in the postseason, and Maxey is not proven to have that in this series. Embiid does, but he did not in game four, and he also just looks shot. Now, obviously, he's going through some significant health problems. I'm not just talking about the knee, but the Bell's palsy he's dealing with. That's an issue, and he was great in game three. Game four was terrible. The Sixers look like a beaten team. The coach is all over the place. They're whining, making excuses. Embiid has been dirty in the series. And the Sixers are just a stupid basketball team. I thought the Sixers would give the Knicks trouble prior to the play-in game. Then I watched the Heat and Sixers in the play-in game and realized that the Knicks caught a break with the Sixers winning. And I really believe that they did. This was before Butler got hurt. And then even watching the Sixers' talent versus the Knicks in the first two games, I thought the Knicks might be in a little bit of trouble. But the Knicks turned it up with Brunson getting going, and the Sixers have folded quite the opposite. They're just a bad basketball team. Now, how far can the Knicks go? who knows? But this was a historic day, a great win as Sweden. Now, that was a legit playoff win. Game two, I was fortunate, was lucky, was improbable, unbelievable. But this was a playoff win that would give you confidence about a team moving forward. Quickly, we'll finish with the baseball here. You know, think about this day. Rangers sweep, they move on. Knicks get a great win in Philadelphia to take a commanding 3-1 lead led by Jalen Brunson with his 47, breaking a Knick record for most points in a postseason game as he plays like the superstar that he is. And then you had the Yankees scoring 15 runs for the second consecutive game. Little lineup change from Boone, paying some dividends. I never liked that 4-5-6. Now, is it going to be long-term Verdugo in the cleanup spot? I doubt it, but it's worked. Two games in a row, I mean, they're scoring 30 runs in back-to-back games as they get set for a huge early season series. End of April, early May. Yeah, I mean, how big of a series can it be in baseball's marathon of a regular season? It's an important one. Yanks, Orioles, the top two teams in the American League East, maybe the top two teams in all of the American League when all is said and done. How they stack up head-to-head, I think there's going to be a good barometer for both teams. What are the Orioles going to be in year two after the great year last year? What are the Yankees this year when going up against? Forget about what they did against the Astros, who, you know, I don't even care if the Astros aren't playing well or haven't played well. I know they just played, you know, had a good weekend here, but I know the Astros aren't the same team that we thought they were. It doesn't matter. Yankees look great out of the gate. This is a real test, though. We know how good Baltimore is. And then even the Mets have a great, you know, thrilling victory with Mark Vientos, of all people, walking it off. So, a perfect weekend in New York sports. I mean, oh, no, wait. I forgot one thing. A near perfect weekend in New York sports. Why did the Giants draft the quarterback? I told you this was going to be the case after round one when they went with Malik Nabers. It's not about Nabers. It's about Daniel Jones. And there was then some thought, oh, maybe the Giants will grab a quarterback later in the rounds. And they did not. The Jets did. The Giants did not. I thought, by the way, for the record, the Jets nailed it. I thought the Jets had an A-plus draft. Again, who knows? It'll take years potentially to find out how good the draft is. But just based on philosophy, on the moves that they made, you know, Jets trading down a spot, still getting their guy, a dominant left tackle. They needed offensive line help, drafting a quarterback late, moving up, getting other guys that they want. Like the Jets, I thought Joe Doug was playing chess during this draft. And I thought Joe Shane was, like, all right. And he better hope that all the players he picked hit and that none of the players, quarterbacks specifically, he passed on hit. Because if they do, it's going to be a problem. And I think this was a potential draft for Joe Shane to be criticized years down the road, not only as soon as this upcoming season, but this might be one that Joe Shane regrets. I really think the Giants made a major mistake not trading down and at some point taking a quarterback, because really the theme of this draft, whether the individuals pan out or not, who knows, the theme of this draft for the New York Giants is it's about Daniel Jones. And I don't know about you, but I've had enough of Daniel Jones. All right, that does it for this edition of WFAN Daily. Don't forget to download, rate, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Email us at WFANDaily@gmail.com. We'll answer your questions and comments on an upcoming mailbag episode. Have a good work week, everybody. We'll see you later.